Well, this morning we are continuing in a sermon series we've been in during the month of September. It's a sermon series where we are looking at Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. It's a sermon series we've been calling Better Together because you see, the book of Ephesians is a book all about community, the importance of being bound together as the body of Christ. Now, one interesting fact about Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus is most scholars agree that Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus, but this letter was so universally applicable to so many different communities of faith. It was passed around to different churches, which means whatever is written here this morning that Paul was saying to the church in Ephesus, well, it was said to other churches as well. Whatever is written here, Paul meant for us as well. So once again, we're going to look at the scripture, this beautiful letter Paul writes. But before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are a potter. We are your clay. Amen. Well, back in 1996, a musical opened in New York City at the West Side Theater just off Broadway. The name of the musical was this. It was called, I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change. The musical was a collection of one-act plays that traced the course of a romantic relationship from its inception, where two people meet for the very first time and fall in love, through the course of a life shared together. And the common theme of the musical is a theme of change. See, that's the irony of being in a relationship. You see, when you're in a relationship, you work really hard to get comfortable with someone, but as soon as you get comfortable with them, life changes around you. You work hard to become comfortable dating someone, and then you go out and you get engaged. So then you have to work hard to be comfortable being engaged to someone, but then you go and get married. And then you have to work hard to be comfortable married to someone, but then you go out and you have kids, or you change jobs, or you move across the country. I love you. You're perfect. Now change. That's just what love requires. If you love someone, you have to be willing to adapt. If you love someone, you have to be willing to lay aside your own preferences. I remember dating a girl in high school. We had a great first date, an even better second date, a wonderful third date, and then on the fourth date, she told me she did not like college football. I said, what? What do you do for 12 hours on a Saturday if you don't watch college football? She said, I like to go to the farmer's market. And there was not a fifth date. I love you. You're perfect. Now change. This love refuses to allow us to stay the same. Now, there's no question the Apostle Paul loved the church in Ephesus. He said as much to them in the letter he wrote them, the letter that we read earlier. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus and said, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you. Paul cared for this community, just like he cared for all of his churches. He cared for them so much, in fact, that he refused to allow them to stay the same. He refused to allow them to become complacent. And why? Well, he said a mystery had been revealed to him. Paul wrote, the Gentiles, the outsiders, had become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the same promise in Christ Jesus. See, the early church had gotten really good at being a Jewish church. They had gotten really good at being comfortable with the people who were already there, but then one day they woke up and things changed. Life changed around them. Suddenly, new people were showing up. people who were different than them, people who were outsiders, started coming to their worship service. And so Paul had to write to the church and tell them that they needed to get comfortable with not being comfortable. Because the love of God had been thrown open to all of humanity. And now everyone, Paul says, was welcome in the household of God. Yes, Paul loved the church. He loved them too much to let them stay the same. I remember several years ago, a woman came up to me and said to me, David, I want to talk to you because I have some concerns about all of the changes that are happening in our 11 o'clock worship service. I thought to me, changes? What changes are you talking about? I mean, we haven't changed anything about the 11 o'clock service since I've been here, at least. I mean, don't you realize I give the exact same announcements every week? Good morning, welcome to Pioneer Shamathis. I'm David, I'm one of the pastors here. What a joy it is to have. It never changes. What are you talking about? I thought to myself. And so with curiosity, I asked the woman, I said, well, tell me, what's concerning you? What changes are you worried about? She paused and she said, well, you know, when I used to come to the 11 o'clock service, I would walk in and I would look around and I knew everyone who attended this church. But now I come in and I look around and I realize I don't know half the people who are here. And I guess I just preferred it the way it used to be. I love you, Paul said. You're perfect, he said. Now change. The great German poet Goethe once said, life belongs to the living, and he who lives must be prepared for change. You see, it's not easy to follow a living God, and it's even harder to be part of a living church. Because if you follow a living God, and if you're part of a living church, well, you can never get too comfortable with the things as they are. It's basic physics. A church in motion, well, that will stay in motion. A church at rest will stay at rest. Maybe that's why they say the seven final words of every church are always the same. What are they? We've never done it that way before. It's just easier to keep things the way they always have been. Even when God is calling you someplace new. You know, maybe that's why the Israelites had such a tough time transitioning out of slavery in the Old Testament. Maybe that's why they struggled in the wilderness. Moses had led them away from the bondage of Pharaoh, but they only made it a month before they began to complain. And they went to Moses. They told Moses that they wanted to go back to Egypt. They said that they preferred the consistency of slavery to the uncertainty of freedom. I love you, Paul says. You're perfect, he says. Now change. Now, God doesn't allow churches to stay the same. God doesn't allow churches to become complacent. Because the love of God continues to reach out to new nations, to new tribes, welcoming into the family of God. So Paul said to the Ephesians, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That is God's dream for God's church. That the expansiveness of God's love would be reflected in you, the community that bears God's name. Yes, God loves the church, but God loves us too much to let us stay the same. Instead, God keeps pushing us. God keeps leading us in new directions, to new places, until one day we are a community. One day we are a place where everyone feels welcome. great Protestant pastor Fred Craddock tells the story of a church he knew growing up. The church was referred to by locals as simply First Church Downtown. It was one of the high-status congregations in the community, the type of church where you have to be someone to show up. Income, proper attire, they appeared to be membership requirements. You had to look the part to be part of First Church Downtown. Craddock said he thought the church would stand forever. After all, it had deep pockets and thick walls. That's why he was so surprised when many years later he returned to his hometown, only to find that First Church Downtown had closed. Evidently, its original memberships had slowly grown older over the years and died off, and not enough of the right type of people had signed up to keep the lights on, so eventually the trustees had to shutter the windows and sell the property to a local merchant. And would you believe that local merchant took that beautiful Gothic old church and turned it into a seafood restaurant? Craddock walked in the doors, looked around, and sure enough, where there had once been pews, now there were tables and waiters and people sitting around having hush puppies and fried fish together. He walked down the aisle, and there in the nave where there had once been a communion table, there was a salad bar. It was a local delicacy of the community. He said everyone would show up to the seafood restaurants, rich and poor, black and white, people of all backgrounds. And the laughter at the tables would echo throughout the choir loft. As he was leaving the restaurant, Craddock just shook his head and couldn't help but say to himself, would you look at that? I guess First Church Downtown finally opened its doors. I guess everyone's welcome at the table now. Yes, this is the mystery, Paul writes. This is the mystery. The Gentiles, the outsiders, have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, sharers in the same promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I love this church. I love this church more than you could possibly imagine. And here is my dream for this congregation. Here is my dream for Pinehurst United Methodist. I dream that we would be a congregation where everyone feels welcome at that table. I dream that we would be a congregation that, whether you've been here a day or a decade, you know that you belong. Because you see, life belongs to the living. And we follow a living God, a God who refuses to allow us to stay the same. And when we change, just know this. We're going to change together. Because no matter what happens tomorrow, no matter where God leads us next, we're in it together. We are better together. Yes, Paul says. We will change together. Thanks be to God. And amen. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the wideness of your mercy and the openness of your table. And though we were once strangers, you have welcomed us to this place. So we pray for open hearts, that we might go into your world with that same sense of gratitude, that same sense of openness, and that we might reflect your love. And for we offer this prayer in your Son's name. Amen.